Welcome to Periodical Radio, the program about magazines and journals. I'm your host, Steve Black, librarian at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York, and author of the book Serials and Libraries, Issues and Practices. This installment of Periodical Radio is about Documentary, the members magazine of the International Documentary Association. According to their website at documentary.org, the mission of the International Documentary Association promote nonfiction film and video around the world by doing three things. One, support and recognize the efforts of documentary film and video makers. Two, increase public appreciation and demand for the documentary. Three, provide a forum for documentary makers, their supporters, and suppliers. Documentary is a glossy magazine printed in full color 8 times a year. It's published monthly, except for 4 combined issues. Serials librarians call the schedule of publication the publication pattern. It's important to librarians because we need to know when issues are expected to arrive. A pattern with combined issues like documentaries is a bit of a challenge, but a complex pattern is okay as long as the publisher makes it clear and sticks to it. Each issue of Documentary runs roughly 60 pages and features about 10 articles. Most articles are 3 to 4 pages long. Regular departments include messages from the association president and the editor, a news section, and member news. Advertisements for services of interest to documentary filmmakers take up about 1/4 of the pages, including a few pages of classified ads at the back. Articles in Documentary address all stages of the filmmaking process. Topics include how particular films were made, how films are distributed, film festivals, and awards. As I browse through issues, I see a particular emphasis on film festivals and awards. Documentary changed its name from International Documentary in December 2005. However, their website and the magazine itself still sometimes refers to it as International Documentary. It is indexed in Film Literature Index. As best as I am able to determine, it is not available in any full-text databases. To learn more about Documentary, my guest is the editor, Tom White. Tom, welcome to Periodical Radio.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
In the introduction to our show, I quoted the mission of the International Documentary Association. How does your magazine promote the mission of the association?
Well, I think the mission of the association, I mean, is to really promote and documentary film to help documentary filmmakers to really, you know, make the world safe for democracy, for documentaries, as it were. I mean, really to provide opportunities to, and IDA does that through screenings, workshops, awards programs, outreach programs, seminars, and also through the magazine. So that's kind of, the magazine functions as a communications device. I mean, as a way to, what I try to do with the magazine is really try to be on top of the documentary world. I mean, but really also cover the past of it. I mean, the past and also the present and also the future. I mean, looking at various trends in the art form, looking at directions, looking at issues that impact the art form, etc. So, I mean, a bit, you know, we're a communications tool, and you know, in conjunction with that, we're trying to enhance our website to be kind of a complementary device. So the whole, you know, communications infrastructure will, you know, include the magazine, but also the website. So I'm developing content for that as in the form of our e-newsletter. And in a way, we can be more timely in terms of, say, documentaries that are coming out at a certain date or you know, reporting on festivals and things like that. So, you know, the e-newsletter or e-blast or e-zine, you know, that's kind of an extension of the magazine. You know, it's sort of in the spirit of that.
So they complement one another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the magazine, yeah, the magazine's been around since the IDA, as long as the IDA has been around. I mean, next year, IDA will celebrate its 25th anniversary. But, and the magazine started as a, you know, in very modest fashion, as a 2-page Xeroxed newsletter. It's certainly evolved since then. And, you know, went from a quarterly to a semi-monthly. I mean, right now we're about coming out about 8 times a year. We used to come out 10 times a year. Next year it'll be 7 times a year. So it's as we kind of build up our presence on the web, you know, we're sort of building that complementary infrastructure. We're know, cutting back a bit on print. I mean, for everybody in the print world, printing magazines or newspapers has become a bit more expensive. And so we're all looking for ways to utilize the web in a creative way, while keeping the magazine and keeping the spirit of the magazine.
Who are your readers?
Our readers primarily documentary filmmakers, of course, but we also have educators and people in the business side of the documentary industry, as it were, the distributors, exhibitors, commissioning editors, etc. You know, again, I mentioned academics and educators, and of course, aficionados of the documentary. But I think the highest percentage of our readership is documentary filmmakers, both emerging and established.
What are the most important or pressing issues facing your readers? You mentioned something about the future of documentary filmmaking.
I think it's really getting your documentary made. I mean, there's making your documentary, having the passion to follow a story and bring it to audiences, but getting your documentary made is more the business side of it, is getting it funded, raising money for it, finding a home for it. I think the web is the digital revolution that's taken place over the past 10 to 12 years has created a lot of opportunities, but it's also created a lot of challenges. But it's getting your documentary seen, being creative about it. I mean, I think that, again, part of the opportunities have been proliferation of festivals. I mean, that's certainly a way to get things seen, but also the opportunities on the web with the video sharing, selling your DVDs online, etc. So I think that's the challenge, is to really, once you finish your documentary, how are you going to get it out to the audiences, but also how are you going to get it finished, how are you going to pay for it. So, those are things that we try to explore.
I suppose it's easy enough to make a documentary available on the web if you don't mind giving it away for free.
Well, I think that's where you need to have that sort of acumen to not give it away for free necessarily, but I think I would encourage documentary makers to set up their own website. It's really, because so many of us are have broadband access. I mean, so many of us live on the web. That's a way to really define your film, and you are constantly selling your film to get it to the next level, to selling it to distributors and exhibitors and commissioning editors, really finding places for it in theaters, on cable or PBS or networks and international markets, and in festivals, of course, and in DVD and the education market. So I think that when you're having it with your website, I mean, it's probably a good idea to have a trailer, at least to give people a sense of what your film looks like, what it's about. And and also if you kind of retain the rights on your own website. And that's a way, in so doing, it kind of forces you to, you become the middleman. So you have to kind of develop a marketing savvy and say, who is your core audience? What are the websites out there that I can reach that core audience? And, really try to take the aggressive role of marketer and distributor for your own work. But you are your best salesperson for your own work, and you know what it's about. You know it's who to reach. So, when you kind of retain the rights to sell your own work, I mean, you're also thinking about the appropriate theatrical distributors or, the appropriate venues on, whether in cable or PBS or networks. And you have to think about those audiences, too. So, I think making your documentary available for free, well, a lot of people are, you can certainly on YouTube, it is a wild frontier there and in other file sharing websites that, There are a lot of documentaries available for free unbeknownst to the documentary filmmakers, I believe. But, I think that the digital revolution has created a lot of opportunities for doc makers to really follow the whole process themselves. I mean, self-distribute, but also, work with the other key players to reach audiences out there as well.
Who are your writers for documentary?
Well, the writers, unfortunately, we're not able to pay our writers, but we do pay them with a complimentary subscription and membership to IDA. But that aside, a lot of our writers are filmmakers, which I've been fortunate to. I mean, so they have a certain into that experience of filmmaking. A fair number are educators, teachers at the college level, college and university level. I am fortunate to have actual journalists, and so there's a wide variety of writers I have.
Tom, how did you land the job of editor?
I think I go back to my English major roots in undergrad in the late 70s, early 80s, and you know, where I did take a few film courses, one of which was actually in documentary in American television. I retained all the textbooks from that course, and I use them to this day. But I really had no idea, as no one really does back then when they graduate from college, where they really want to go into. But I was in performing arts management and in resource development, living in New York and working at Lincoln Center and Brooklyn Academy of Music, but also going to a lot of films and a lot of documentaries. So a sort of school of hard knocks in New York, and then I came out to Los Angeles in 87 to pursue an MBA with a focus on arts and nonprofit management at UCLA. And then I worked at the LA Opera for about 3 years and then went on my own. One of my first clients was IDA. And so, you know, that kind of documentary was never far from my realm of art forms that I'm passionate about. And so, you know, it's always stuck with me. So I work with IDA primarily as a grant writer and development consultant, but I did want to kind of, you know, expand my portfolio a bit, so I started writing for their magazine and then wrote for other magazines, the Independent Film and Video Weekly, Hollywood Reporter, Variety, IndieWire, and Release Print. And it was about 10 years ago, in 96, I became assistant editor of the magazine, and then worked my way up and became editor in June of 2000. So that's how that happened.
What do you like best about the job of being editor?
I think it's just being, I think working with writers, working with filmmakers, but also just it's a very creative job. I like the idea. For each issue, we try to have a theme for each issue and assign or develop ideas for articles around that theme and so try to create an issue that is as comprehensive and cohesive and creative as, you know, within our limited budget would allow. So that's what I like about it. I mean, and I also work at home. All my staff are independent contractors, kind of a unique 21st century model. And so I think it's sort of the, I just, you know, I've always liked writing, and I like the idea of hammering an article into a presentable and acceptable and pleasing form. So, but also just the end product. You start out it starts out in flux, and it starts out as an idea, then a series of ideas, and you work with the writers and with each writer, and then the articles come in, and you hammer and you work with your staff, and the end product is hopefully a product of lasting value.
In your fast-forward introduction to each issue of documentary, you close with "Yours in Actuality."
Uh-huh.
Why that closing?
I think when I first wrote that column, I wanted to come up with something, I guess, appropriate to the magazine and something that's appropriate to documentary. I mean, I think in Europe, particularly in England, documentaries are, well, there's documentaries, but within the nonfiction media universe, actualities are part of that. So, I mean, I guess an alternative would be documentarily yours, but I thought yours in actuality, I mean, it's just kind of part and parcel with the nonfiction community that we're serving.
I see. As I browse through the issues that we subscribe to here at the College of St. Rose of Documentary, I noticed that there was quite an emphasis on film festivals. Why are festivals such an important component of documentary filmmaking?
Well, I don't know if we necessarily emphasize film festivals, but we certainly cover them. I mean, I feel it's important to cover them, and I think in the past 15 years, festivals have played a vital role in giving documentaries a high profile and attracting distributors and potential partners to help further the life of the documentary. I mean, in a way, you know, festivals have also played a role in just in test driving the documentary and test driving in front of audiences to gauge what they respond to, what they like about the film. I mean, really, it's also to really interact with the audience. I mean, that you don't get that kind of opportunity when you have your film airing on television or on cable or playing in the theaters. And also, you know, we can't cover every film. I mean, from our standpoint, we can't cover every film that comes out, and there's so many documentaries that come out, and this is a way we can try to highlight some of them, you know, and serve the community as much as we can. And, you know, and I think festivals, I mean, that play a vital role in furthering the life of the documentary. And we have seen a number of documentary-only festivals, you know, pop up over the past 10 years or so. I think that's great for the art form. So, you know, it's kind of a way to give back. And for me to, you know, when I cover festivals, for me personally, it's a way to really scout out what's coming down the pike. It's also, you know, not just the films that are screened there, but the people who go there and who participate in panels and workshops and seminars and things like that. It gives people a sense of what's in the air. I mean, what's coming up? What are some of the issues and trends that seem to be impacting the form and impacting the industry? So, I mean, I think it's just important to continue to cover festivals, and there's so many we can't cover them all, but I think we certainly try to hit the important ones and occasionally some of the regional ones. So,
could you talk a little bit about the role of awards in documentary filmmaking and what some of the most important awards are?
Well, obviously, I mean, the Academy Awards, you know, certainly that's a great honor to be nominated and to win an Oscar. But Emmys, Peabody's, and DuPont's are certainly very prestigious honors as well. And I should say myself, the IDA Awards, you know, that those were kind of created as a way to, you know, to kind of celebrate the art form, to really, you know, give back to the community and I think when IDA was first formed, I mean, that was one of the first, I mean, within its first couple of years of life, the people who founded it decided it's important to have documentary awards. I mean, there really aren't enough out there. So I think that, you know, it's certainly awards help careers. I mean, give filmmakers a certain cachet, I mean, to put on their CV or resume, and to really, you know, help gain funding or support for the next project.
Thank you. In December of 2005, your magazine changed its name from International Documentary to Documentary. Why the change?
That was a board decision, and I think that it was also suggested by our distributor, but that perhaps international was a pejorative aspect to it, had a pejorative aspect to it that folks in the United States would misconstrue that perhaps we were only covering non-domestic documentaries, which is not true, but it's actually important to, we do cover international issues and international documentaries, and we're the International Documentary Association. But I think to eliminate the word international really focused on the art form itself, so that it was, you know, just it was documentary, whether it was international or domestic. So that, you know, that was the kind of the reasoning behind it. It was kind of to position the magazine in a different way in the newsstands and bookstores where we are and at festivals that this is, you know, really a magazine about the art form and in some ways about the industry.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions about the readership. I was noticing your circulation, and I had a couple of questions about it. First of all, for the benefit of our listeners, like all magazines, each year you print your statement of ownership, management, and circulation in one of the issues. And I've not addressed this in a previous radio show. Could you just explain for our listeners what that form is and why it's required?
I mean, the form is something we file with the post office.
Right.
I think it's required just to show that, you know, we are not necessarily a dormant publication, that we, you know, it's to be accountable. I mean, where we are, how many issues we print, where they go to, I mean, how many we keep on hand, how many go to subscribers and members, and how many go to newsstands and bookstores, and how many we distribute for free. I mean, we do send a certain number to festivals and markets, and a number of other, of my contemporaries in the nonprofit media arts world also send their magazines, and the for-profit media arts publications. There's, you know, you go to the prominent festivals and you'll see a whole slew of magazines on display there. I mean, it's really it's kind of a marketing tool. So that's why we, fill out that form every year.
And that's required to get the special periodical postage rate?
That's right. Okay. The nonprofit rate.
Right. When I was looking at that, there were a couple of things that struck me. One of the things that's in county and out of county, and I noticed about half of the membership was within county, which I assume to be Los Angeles County.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I would have thought that documentary filmmakers would be more widely distributed, not half in Los Angeles County.
Well, I think a bulk of our membership is from Los Angeles County. I mean, Southern California, I should say, mainly because that's where we're headquartered. We do try to partner with various organizations around the country, and we have had workshops and seminars in New York and Washington D.C. and Chicago and other places when we can. I mean, we do, over several times over the course of the year. But a lot of our awards galas in Los Angeles are then the screening of the award-winning films are in Los Angeles, and then our DocuWeek, which is a showcase for qualifying documentaries for consideration for Academy Award. That takes place in Los Angeles, as it's supposed to, either Los Angeles or New York. And then we send a number of those films on an 8-city tour. So we are trying to, that is serving the Academy's qualifications, but it's also, kind of building our presence in other places around the country. But, because we're based here, and we have a lot of screenings here, but in other places, that's where a good portion of our membership is.
I see. I'd like to bring us back to a topic from the very beginning of the interview, and that's the future of the magazine, and specifically the magazine as a print publication. You spoke of how you're expanding the web presence and using the timeliness of that. Do you see a future for the print magazine 5-10 years from now?
I do. I don't think the print magazine is going to go away. Print magazines are being born every month. I mean, I think, but I think that you have to, I think it's important if you were to think as a hybrid, so that's kind of the future of it. So I don't think that print magazines will still be around 5 years from now. I think it's the portability, it's the kind of the saving the magazines, for future use, sort of archiving it. I think the best zines on the web that have been around for a while have been around because they've known how to utilize the web, and it's different from a magazine. There's more dimensionality. It's a bit more versatile, but they can have the they certainly have archival capabilities too, but there is a little bit of the ephemeral aspect of a web-based publication that is And I think it's just a matter of perception and how we're conditioned to engage in the print media versus the electronic media. You know, we're just conditioned in the print media. There's a little bit of more of a lasting value, or I should say less of a ephemeral aspect to it. But I think that'll change. But I think as all print publications, whether it's newspapers, dailies, monthlies, semi-monthlies, need to be thinking about utilizing both the print medium and the electronic medium, and really enhancing both and using each medium to enhance each other.
Tom, is there anything that I haven't addressed that you'd like to tell us about documentary?
Well, let's say I did want to say, you know, you mentioned you focused on the coverage of festivals, and I mentioned that, but I do, you know, want to say that we do try to cover as much as we can in other areas of documentary, and try to be as versatile and dynamic as possible. I mean, whether we're covering education or emerging and evolving platforms, or looking at various regions, which we've done in various issues. I mean, this past year we looked at the Washington, D.C. region. We looked at New York City the year before, and then in other publications we've looked at regions around the world, not as an issue-wide a special issue, but in various articles. So, we do try to look at the documentary community, as a whole, and look at various aspects of it and highlight things. And I mean, I think the core of our mission as a magazine is service and trying to just being of service to the documentary community and as much as we can. So, and you know, that's kind of in concert with the IDA's mission. So, you know, and again, in developing the web as a complementary tool, it's really so we can be a bit more timely and that our service can be, you know, can improve somewhat. So, but again, you know, the bottom line for me is service to the community, and I try not to waver from that.
Tom White, thank you very much for being my guest on Periodical Radio.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Have a good day. If you are interested in becoming a member of the International Documentary Association and receiving a subscription to Documentary, go to documentary.org and click on Become a Member. Individual memberships are $85 a year. Thank you for listening to this installment of Periodical Radio. I'm your host, Steve Black. Thank you.